This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh, Tav Shanayin Ches, and we will begin on page 482 in the Art Scroll, which is Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, chapter 30, verse 1. We'll get back to it. Okay, so it's page 482. Parak Lamed Pasuk Aleph.
485.
Okay. All right, let's read through this part, this last part of the parsha. V'asisa mizbeach miktar k'tayres. You should make an altar on which to bring incense. K'tayres was a mixture of different spices, and this mixture was burnt on this altar. That's what this altar was dedicated for. As we know, there were two altars in the Mishkan. There was the Mizbeach HaOila, the Mizbeach upon which the sacrifices were brought. That was actually outside of the Mishkan in the courtyard. And then we have this Mizbeach referred to as the Mizbeach Miktar K'tayres, the altar upon which to bring or to burn the incense. Atze Shitim Ta'ase Oisei. You shall make it out of shittim wood. Ama arkai, now the dimensions. Its length is a cubit. Va'ama rachbai, its width is a cubit. Ravua yiyeh, it should be square. Va'masayim kaimatsa, its height is 2 cubits. Mimenu karnoisav, from it shall its corners be. Okay, so what we've got here is this square, right? It's got these corners coming up, these horns, corners coming up. And the dimensions are a cubit by a cubit, 2 cubits high. Now, if we'll be generous, a cubit, right? The largest measurement that's given for a cubit is like 2 feet, okay? So this whole altar was 2 feet by 2 feet, length and width, 2 feet, 2 feet, height, 4 feet, okay? That's not so big. And it had these karnos, these horns coming up and on the corners. It's a piece of oisai zav tar, you shall cover it with pure gold. Eskagoi, its top. Veskiroi sav, saviv, and its walls all around. Veskarnoi sav, and its horns. V'asis aloi zeresav saviv, and you shall make for it a golden crown all around. Okay, so now this pasuk tells us that basically this altar is made out of wood, and it's covered with gold. And because it was covered with gold is why this altar was known as the Mizbeach HaZav. It was known as the golden altar. While the altar upon which the sacrifices were brought was covered with nechoshes, with copper. Therefore, it was referred to as Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the altar of copper. Okay? So you've got, now, so the Tosek tells us you're covering it with gold, and you're covering Gagoy, its roof. So Rashi comments that this altar that we're referring to had a top to it. Had a top. The top was, again, it was a wooden top covered with gold. Unlike the other altar, the Mizbeach HaOila, the Mizbeach which the Karbanos were brought, that the Torah actually says is hollow on the inside. Right? It's got walls, but it's hollow on the inside. And whenever the altar was stationary, they filled it up with dirt. They filled it up with dirt. So, although by the Mizbeach, in Parshas Truma, when we're talking about the altar, the Mizbeach and HaNechoshes, the copper altar, it's described, or actually I think this is in a different Parsha, it's described that way. It's called Nevu Luchai. See, that's not in Truma, I think it's in a different Parsha. That it's made out of, I'm not sure which Parsha it's in, but it's made, basically it's panels and it's hollow. Okay? Here, there's no mention of that. Here, it had a cover. It was a square. It was a box. Now, and 2 rings of gold you shall make below its crown. Okay. Al shtei tzaloisav, on its 2 corners. Tasal shnei tzidav shall you make on its 2 sides. V'hayar levatim levadim, and they shall be as houses for the poles, meaning places to put the poles in. L'seisai behemah, to carry it with them. So if you look at the picture on the bottom, right? You see the picture at the bottom of the golden mizbech, of the golden altar. So you've got, you see it's got those edges. In between the horns, it's got these edge, whatever you want to call it, edges.
Rings.
What?
Rings.
What? Not rings. I'm not talking about the rings. I'm thinking first look in between the corners, right? You see that jagged?
That's a crown.
That's the crown. That's the crown being referred to before. And you've got the hole, you've got the tabois, the rings on two edges. Right? You've got two, the rings on, you've got the poles on two edges. You've got a ring on one corner, and you have a ring on another corner on each side. And then you have the poles, or they call them the staves, that are going through. Now, we continue. Pasuk hey, v'asisa abad dematzei shitim, you shall make the poles out of shitim wood, v'tzipisai samzav, and you shall cover them with gold. V'nasata oisei lefnei aparechas. Now, where is this mizbech ha'elo, where azav, where is this golden altar located?
Right.
It is located, v'nasata oisei lefnei aparechas. You shall put it in front of the curtain. Asher al Aron HaEdus, that is over the Ark of Testimony. And we know that in the actual building of the Mishkan, there were two sections. And the sections were divided by a parochas, by a curtain. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was on one side of the curtain, where the Aron, where the Ark was. And the other side was the rest of the Kodesh, the rest of the sanctuary, where you had the menorah, the candelabra, the shulchan, the table, and this Mizbeach, this altar of gold. So the first thing the pasuk tells us is to place it in front of the curtain that is over the ark. Then it says, lifnei ha-kapiris, in front of the kapiris. The kapiris was the covering of the ark. Asher al ha-edus, that is on the testimony. Asher ibe l'chashama, that from there I shall meet with you. Meaning, the Torah is telling us, you put it in front of the curtain. Now the curtain, you know, the curtain went from side to side. So if you just, the pasuk just says, put it in front of the curtain, I could put it in front of the curtain at any spot. Says the Torah, no. I want it, the Torah says, Hashem says, I want it in front of the curtain, but I want it opposite of the kaparis, opposite of where the covering of the ark is. It should be directly in line with that. But you have the curtain that's separating, and you have it directly in line. Okay? And it is there that the pasuk mentions, that Hashem says, the again, it's in front or it's in line with the covering of that's over the testimony, by which I will meet you there. Right, Hashem spoke to Moshe from there. Hashem's voice came to Moshe from that point. It came from out of the kapuris, from there. That's where Moshe heard it from.
I'm confused now.
What?
Is it inside the kodesh?
No,
this is outside the.
It's outside the kodeshim, but it's facing towards the kapuris. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. V'hikter olav Aaron k'toyre samim. Now, Aaron shall now offer on this altar k'toyre samim, which they translate k'toyre samim as the spice incense, right? V'hikter olav Aaron. Upon it shall Aaron bring the spice incense up in smoke. That's v'hikter. Bring it up. Meaning you light it, right? You burn it, and you bring up the smoke. So that's Victor Olam Aaron Keteres Samim. Aaron will bring up in smoke this incense. Ba Baker, every morning, Behetivai Asaneres Yaktirena. When he cleans out the lamps of the menorah, he shall offer it. So Rashi explains that every day, part of the Kohen's service was that the menorah that had been burning at night, in the morning, the old ashes are cleaned out from the lamps, from where the oil is. It's cleaned out and prepared for later on at night. So the first time, so the Keteres is offered in the morning when Aaron, when the Kohen, cleans out the lamps. Uvalois Aaron Asaneres Ben Arabayim Yakterena. And then in the Ben Arabayim in the evening, when Aaron brings up the candles, meaning when he lights the candles of the menorah, Yaktereta, then again, you offer the incense. Ketores tamid lepnei Hashem adarei seichem, this is a constant offering of incense in front of Hashem for all generations. Loisalu alav ketores zara, you shall not bring up on this altar a strange incense, meaning you can't just bring up your own. Somebody wants to donate and do an extra incense. Can't do it. V'oila, nor can you bring up a actual sacrifice of an animal on this altar, umincha, nor can you offer a meal offering on this altar. V'neisach le'sischu alav, and no libation shall be poured on it. V'chiper Aaron al karnoisav, and Aaron shall bring atonement on its corners, achas bashana, once a year, midam chatas hakipurim, from the blood of the sin offering of atonement, meaning referring on yom achas bashana, one time a year, yechaper alav dereisechem, shall he atone on it for all generations. Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem, this is Holy of Holies to Hashem. So the Pasuk is telling us that once a year, there is something else that you do on this altar. You actually sprinkle the blood from the sin offerings of Yom Kippur that are brought to atone for the making the Mishkan Tameh, to atone for that. You have these special sacrifices on Yom Kippur. The blood of that sin offering is sprinkled on the corners of this altar. So as it's very clear that the main purpose of this altar is the ketores, the incense that's brought twice a day. Also, once a year, there's blood sprinkled on its corners as part of the atonement that's done on Yom Kippur. It's Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem. It's Holy of Holies to Hashem, means that this altar is dedicated solely for these purposes and nothing else. There is actually another time, other than the Pasuk mentioning that we have here in the Torah, when it talks about the Ketores, the burning of the incense, or it talks about sprinkling from the blood from the sin offering of Yom Kippur. There are some other examples where it actually the blood is sprinkled on the altar. And that is actually discussed later on the Chumash, when it talks about, if let's say, the king sins in a certain way, or the Sanhedrin makes a wrong decision for the Jewish people, and they all sin because of that, and there's an atonement they have to bring. In those circumstances also, the blood of those sacrifices sprinkled on the altar, the golden altar, but there's no mention, Ibn Ezra says there's no mention of it in the Pasuk because it's rare. The Pasuk is only mentioning what's constant, what's consistent. And therefore, you've got your twice a day, daily, of burning the Ketores on the altar, and then you have the once a year sprinkling of the blood from the sin offerings on Yom Kippur.
Is it just on the corners that he sprinkles the blood?
That's what it seems. Now, the obvious question that has to be asked is that if this altar is one of the vessels of the Mishkan, why was it not mentioned with the rest of them? Parshas Truma is the parsha that describes all the vessels, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the construction of the building of the Mishkan itself. Parshas Tetzaveh, this week's parsha, starts off dealing with the priestly garments, then talks about the inauguration sacrifices for the Kohanim to be inaugurated into the Kohuna. Then after all that, we talk about this part of the Mishkan. Why isn't it mentioned together with everything else? That's the question that all the commentaries ask. So I want to share with you the commentary of the Sforno, how the Sforno deals with this question. The Sforno says like this. The first thing that the Sforno deals with is, he says like this. You're going to make Mizbeach Miktar Ketores, an altar for burning Ketores. Sheyaspik by Ma'at Eish L'Ketores Belvad. All you need is a little bit of fire on this altar just to bring the Ketores. Lo Yitztarech Li'Yishcholu L'Malas Ba'adama. You don't need for it to be hollow and filled with dirt. Meaning, right now, Sforno is addressing that, the point that we said before. The Mizbeach Ha'ela, the Mizbeach that burnt offerings are brought on, is hollow and it's filled with dirt. And there's no mention of that here. Why? And the answer, K'may Shehutzrach Mizbeach Ha'ela, as was needed by the altar for the sacrifices, Laseis Ha'esh Tamed Al Adama. And that's because you needed a constant fire, right? The altar upon which the sacrifices had to be brought had to always have a fire burning on it. So in order to have that, you need basically, the inside is built with dirt and the wood's on the dirt, and you're constantly feeding the wood to make sure the fire is there. But since you need the fire to constantly burn, therefore the inside of the altar is filled with dirt. But here the fire or the coals, right, that they did for burning the incense, was burnt right on top of that golden cover, on the golden top, rather. And being that it's not a very big fire, Lo hispik lisreif esgara mamizbeach shaya shalates. It would never basically burn or penetrate into the wood that was the actual body of the altar. So the first thing that the Sephardim is addressing is that the construction of the Mizbeach Hazav was different than the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, because the only thing you had to burn on the golden altar was the incense. You don't need much fire for that. You need a little bit of fire. And therefore, the whole thing can be made out of wood covered with gold. The coals upon which the incense is burned are placed on top. And since it's very small, it's not going to damage the wood. But the Mizbeach Ha'ila, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper Mizbeach by which the sacrifices were brought, that was something that needed a constant fire going. If you need a constant fire going, you can't have that constant fire going on the top in a similar structure as this altar. And therefore, they had to make the wall, it had to be hollow, it had to have walls, it had to be hollow, and they filled on the inside with dirt, and upon that dirt, the constant fire was maintained. Okay, that's the first thing that the Sephardim addresses. Then he says, the reason why this vessel is not mentioned with all the other vessels in Parshas Truma, because the intention with this altar was not in order to rest the divine presence of Hashem in our midst. What the Sephardim is going to say now is, he's going to say that the reason why this altar is mentioned after everything is because the function, the purpose of this vessel was different than the function of everything else. And that's why it's mentioned at this point. Okay, and the first thing he says is that the intention of this altar of gold, the altar upon which the Keteris was offered, the intention was not lahashkin akel yisparach pasoichenu, to rest, to bring Hashem resting within our midst, as which was the reason by all the other vessels, Ka'amrai, as is stated, v'shachanti b'seicham, I shall dwell amongst the Jewish people, k'chol asher ani mara oischa, as I have shown you, es tabnis ha-mishkan, the form of the tabernacle, v'es tabnis kol kelav, and the form of all its vessels. Now, the Sephardim, back in Parashat Truma, interprets this following verse like this. Now, let's just say the words again. The words in the beginning of Parashat Truma. It's in Parashat Truma. No, actually, yeah, Parashat Truma. For Shachanti b'seicham, I shall dwell in their midst, like all that I have shown you where? On Har Sinai, right? All I have shown you on Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. Eitz tavnes ha-mishkan, the form of the mishkan, and the form of the vessels. Now, Rashi there interprets this to mean that Hashem is saying, I will dwell in the midst of the Jewish people according to the construction of the Mishkan and its vessels that I have shown you on Mount Sinai. Okay? I'm going to dwell in your midst, right? I'm going to dwell in your midst based on what I've shown you on Har Sinai. The Sephardim actually interprets this verse a little different. He interprets it, I shall dwell in your midst, like all I showed you in Har Sinai. I will dwell in your midst, as you saw me dwelling on Mount Sinai, meaning I'm going to dwell in the Mishkan as I dwelled on Mount Sinai, es tabnis ha-mishkan, through the formation of the tabernacle and the formation of its vessels. So the Pasuk is saying, how do you have a Shachanti? How do you have Hashem's divine presence resting amongst them? How does that happen? That happens through the tabernacle itself, the building of the tabernacle itself, and the vessels within. That is the purpose of those things. The purpose of those parts, the purpose of the structure of the Mishkan, the vessels of the Mishkan, that is to have Hashra, that's to have a Shachanti B'Seichem, that is to have Hashem dwelling in their midst. And what does dwelling in their midst mean according to the Sephardim? So the Sephardim says, actually, at the end of the chapter that precedes this one, at the end of Parakhav Tes, where Hashem says, V'shachanti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, I will dwell amongst the Jewish people, the Sephardim writes, L'kabel avaydasem b'ratzayin, to accept their divine worship with love, V'lishmayas tefilasem, and to hear their prayers. The Sephardim explains, what does it mean, V'shachanti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, Hashem says, I am dwelling in their midst? It means that I lovingly accept their worship, meaning their offering of the sacrifices, and I listen to their prayers. That's what it means. What the Mishkan does, and when we say Hashem is resting in the Mishkan, it means he comes there to accept our sacrifices and our prayers. Because that's where the power of that is. The greatest power of that is in the Mishkan. That's where it is. Okay? So, but this is not the purpose of the Mizbeach Hazav. This is not the purpose of the Golden Altar. That's not the purpose of it. That's the purpose of the other ones. Then he continues. Gam lo haya inyanai. And the purpose of the Golden Altar was not lohayrid mare kvayd bak kvayd bebayis, to bring down the appearance of his glory in the house. This is another thing. We have something called Hashem is dwelling in the Mishkan, and then we have mare kvayd bebayis. Then we have the appearance of his glory in the house. Ke'inyan maseach karbonis, which is the purpose of the sacrifices. Ka'umrei, as is stated, v'noi adeti shama levnei Yisrael, I shall meet there with the Jewish people. Hashem comes in the Mishkan. V'chein heyed Moshe Rabbeinu ba'umrei. Moshe testifies to this when he says, Zahadav asher atziva Hashem ta'asu. This is what Hashem said you shall do. This is referring to the sacrifices when the Mishkan was being inaugurated. V'yera aleichem kaveid Hashem. And through this, that glory of God shall appear to you. This idea of the Yira Aleichem Kved Hashem, the glory of God shall appear to you, is not the same thing as Vishachanti. When it says Hashem says I'm going to dwell amongst you, that, as we said before, that means I come to accept your sacrifices and hear your prayers. Then there's something else called the appearance of the glory of Hashem. The Sephardim doesn't tell us what it is exactly, but what it is, this commentary on the Sephardim explains what it is like this. And that is that we find many times in the Chumash that when Hashem came to speak to Moshe, it says the Jewish people turned to the Mishkan, and what did they see? A cloud. They saw a cloud. So there was this, and anytime Hashem spoke to Moshe, there was a cloud on the Mishkan. So basically, the appearance of the glory of Hashem is where Hashem is coming to give a message to Moshe to give to the Jewish people. That's Moshe's prophecy. Moshe's receiving prophecy is described as the appearance of the glory of Hashem in the Mishkan. And this is something the Jewish people were able to see. They were able to experience, able to see it. So, what brings that? What makes that happen? What makes having this appearance of Hashem's glory? What makes it happen that Hashem comes and speaks to Moshe from on top of the ark, and the Jewish people see that? Where does that come from? That comes from the sacrifices. But that's not the purpose of the altar, of the golden altar. The purpose is not having Hashem dwell amongst them. The purpose is not for the appearance of the glory of Hashem. What was the purpose of this altar? L'chabed es hakel yisbarach, to honor God. After his coming to accept with love the service of his nation, with sacrifices, of the morning and the evening. Ulashachar panav means and to greet him, b'minchas k'tayris, with a gift of the k'tayris. Meaning, when Hashem comes, Hashem is in the Mishkan, right, accepting our sacrifices. So how do we, so to speak, greet his presence? By offering the k'tayris. Ke'in al-derech, this is similar to what we see in the pasuk. Havu l'Hashem kavayit shemai, bring to Hashem the glory of his name. Su'u mincha, carry a gift, u'bayu l'fanav, and come before him. So what's the gift that we bring before him for his coming to the Mishkan to accept our sacrifices? The k'tayris. Not the karbanis. The k'tayris. The Keteris' purpose is, the honor that we show to Hashem for coming to accept our sacrifices. The fact that Hashem accepts our sacrifices and our prayers, we now greet his presence. We now show respect to his presence by this offering of the incense. Why is that the gift? How is that the gift? The Sephardim doesn't explain that. But that's what it is. The Keteris is where the king has come to hear our prayers, accept our service. So what do we do in greeting him? What do we do in welcoming him? We bring the Keteris, we bring this incense.
Smoke was supposed to go straight up. It didn't.
Okay, good. So that's what it says. So it makes us, if Werner tells us, we have three things happening in the Mishkan. We have the divine presence resting there to accept our service and our prayers. That is accomplished with the Mishkan, with the building of the tabernacle itself and all the other vessels. The sacrifices bring about the appearance of the glory of God. And the Keteris, which is done on this altar of gold, its purpose is a gift to Hashem coming to accept our sacrifice and our prayers. So you want to know why this altar is mentioned after everything? It's mentioned after everything because that's what it is. It's a whole separate purpose. Because it functions, the purpose that it's there for is completely different than everything else mentioned before, than all the vessels mentioned before, and it's even different than the sacrifices. It comes after. Because the order of the parshias, as I mentioned before, is you've got Shruma talking about the construction of the Mishkan, Tetzava talks about the priestly garments, which the Kohen has to wear to bring the sacrifices. Then it talks about the sacrifices that were brought by the Kohanim being inaugurated into the service of the Mishkan. And then it talks about the Keteris, because it talks about the Shechina, it talks about the appearance of the glory of Hashem, and then it talks about what Keteris does, which is the gift to Hashem, welcoming him for coming to accept our prayers. And therefore, because it serves a completely different purpose, therefore, it's not mentioned together with everything else.
Did he take the Kohen Gadol take the Keteris on Yom Kippur and bring it in?
Yes, he did. That is true.
From the Mizbeach?
I don't think so.
I took some.
He had a pan with coals. And he put the Keteris in it, and he brought it in. Now, now that you mentioned that, that brings up a very interesting point. So we just had the Sefornu's explanation. Now I'm going to share with you the explanation given by the Meshech Chachma of why this altar, Mizbeach HaKeteris, is mentioned at the end. So he says like this. He says, the reason is because, v'ikar, because when it comes to everything else that Moshe was commanded to make, let's take the Aron, let's take the Ark. Imagine what would happen. Now, again, you have the Ark, and what do you do with the Ark? You put the Luchas, the tablets that Moshe brought down from Har Sinai, were put in there, and that's where we're stored. What would be if for some reason the Ark wasn't available?
What would you do with the Luchas?
What would you do with the Luchas? Meaning when you had the Luchas, if something would happen to the Aron, what would you do with them? It'd be stuck. You couldn't just put them down on the floor. They couldn't be here. They wouldn't be able to be here where they're supposed to be. Okay? Im ein Aron, if there's no Ark, ein manich and Luchas, there's nowhere to put the tablets. Okay? V'chein b'loy mizbeach. That's it, there's no altar. Something happens to it. Again, there's a Mishkan, but there's no altar. You can't bring the daily sacrifice. Right? The daily sacrifice that has to be brought, the tamid that's brought in the morning and afternoon, no art, no altar for some reason, no sacrifices. So too, if there's no priestly garments, something happens to them. No service. Kohen cannot do the service without the garments. And if you don't have the candelabra, you can't just go, all right, I don't have the candelabra, so I'll take a couple of things and I'll set it up here and I'll light some candles. No, you can't do that. Ubalay shulchan, without a table, what was put on the table? The lechem apadim, the special bread, okay? No table, what do? With the bread. You can't just put it down on the floor, nowhere to put it. You're not going to have what to do with it, right? All these things, all the functions that these vessels are meant to do, right? If you don't have the vessels, then you can't do what you're supposed to do. There's no other option how to do it. But when we're talking about the golden altar, that its primary purpose was for bringing the Keteris, bringing the incense, Haloi kaimlan, we know the halacha is ta'akatoires nikdar avimein mizbeach. Let's say Rabbi no mizbeach. Would you bring the incense? Yes, you would. Ukmai da'ama rabbi zavachim dafnun tes, as the Gemara in Zavachim says, the mizbeach shenekar, let's say the mizbeach becomes uprooted, something happens to it. You bring the incense right there, on the spot. You can bring it right there. The inarak lemitzvah, and the purpose and the whole idea of offering the keteres on the altar, is all. That's the way it's supposed to be done, but it doesn't have to be done that way. Clearly, if the mizbeach is there, you got to do it that way. But if there be no altar there, you would just do it right then and there. The point is, so therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, everything else that's mentioned first is mentioned because you want to be able to accomplish in the Mishkan what you want to accomplish. You got to have these vessels. If you don't have the vessels, you can't do what you're supposed to do. But the Mizbeach HaKetzav, the golden altar, which is done for bringing the incense, that's a different ballgame. That's a good thing. That's something that it should be done that way. But if you wouldn't have it, you could do it anyway. And therefore, being that it's not mandatory for that to do the actual service, therefore it's mentioned last, because it's not something that we can't do without, so to speak. Everything else, all the other vessels, for what they're supposed to be doing for the purpose of having the Shekhinah in the Mishkan, without those vessels, you can't get it done.
It's because you're thanking God.
But the point is that when it comes to those services, they cannot be done without the vessels. This one could. Because of what?
You're thanking God for coming.
Yeah.
He's a saint. So,
just do it. You could do it anyway.
You could do it anyway.
All right. Okay, that's an interesting idea.
The Shulchan, everything was made for the Mishkan.
Correct.
When Shlomo HaMelech built the...
Yeah. Yeah. Beis HaMikdash. Some things he incorporated and some things he didn't. I still have brought down that this is an argument, but he had more than one menorah, Shlomo HaMelech, in the Beis HaMikdash. But he also had the menorah from the Mishkan. And he had more than one mizbeach. And the mizbeach of the Mishkan was used. But this mizbeach, this golden mizbeach, or the Aruch Chaim brings it down in Parshas Truma. This mizbeach, this altar, the altar of gold, he didn't use. He didn't use this one. He made his own.
In the second Beis HaMikdash, some of the things were missing altogether.
That's true too, right?
The Aruch was missing.
Now, one last thought here on the Keteres, and that is from the Kli Yakar. So the Kli Yakar, so we just had discussed between the Sefornu, between the and everything. We have this whole discussion about what we have a discussion about. I mean, the Torah tells us the golden altar is for bringing the Keteres, burning the incense, and we have the differences between the other vessels and this vessel. But the Kli Yakar tells us though that both altars, right, the altar upon which the Karbanos were brought, the altar upon which the Keteres was brought, they actually served a similar purpose, which may be a little bit different, come to think of it, than the way the Sefornu explains. Because he actually says that the same way the altar of copper, covered with copper, which was with the sacrifices, was brought for atonement, this Mizbeach Hazar, this golden Mizbeach upon which the Keteres, the incense, was burned, was also atonement, for atonement. What does that mean? I mean, the Pasuk says, You only sprinkled blood on it for atonement on Yom Kippur, but the Kli Yakar has an approach in which when the Keteres is brought, it's also brought for atonement, and he explains, based similar to what we had a couple of weeks ago when we discussed Karbanos. Maybe we didn't get that far in the Sefer HaChinuch, but the Sefer HaChinuch says that the purpose of Karbanos is for a person. You know, animals resemble people, and when you bring the animal on the altar, basically, you're supposed to be saying to yourself, you're supposed to be realizing, that should have been me. And instead of me, Hashem takes the animal in my place. That's what he's supposed to think. And that is the atonement. That's the kapara. That's the atonement you get for your sin. Says the Kli Yakar, all right. So clearly when a person sins, a person needs atonement from the point of his physical being. You know, basically he's a physical human being and he used his living human soul, living human spirit for sinning. And that needs atonement. That needs atonement. From the point of our physical being, from the point of our human being, we need atonement. And that's done through the animal because the animal resembles a man, a person in many ways, physically and in the sense of that life spirit, that human or that animal life spirit. But a person has something that an animal doesn't. A person has a neshama. And when a person does a sin with his body, it affects his neshama too. It affects his neshama. His neshama needs a cleansing. What's going to atone? What's going to cleanse his neshama? The animal can't cleanse his neshama, says the Kli Yakar. An animal's spirit has no connection to a neshama. An animal doesn't have a neshama. The neshama that a human being has, an animal doesn't have. Whatever spirit, whatever soul an animal has, that's an animal soul. And as he brings down, the animal soul goes down, and the human soul is supposed to go up. Supposed to always find its connection to its source. So what brings the atonement? What brings the kapara? Brings the atonement to the neshama. Says the Kli Yakar, you know what brings atonement to the neshama? The Keteris. The Keteris, which is the smoke that goes up, represents the elevation of the neshama to its source in heaven. So he says that the same way that you have, so both altars function in a similar way. They both bring atonement. One brings atonement to the physical dimension of a person. That's what the altar that the animals are brought upon, that's what it does, because animals resemble a person, and therefore the sacrifice of the animal can be an atonement for the physical dimension of a person. While, what is it that's going to be atoning for the neshama? What's going to cleanse the neshama for when the neshama is in a body that sins? What's going to cleanse that? The keteris. The keteris, the smoke that goes up. That resembles, that's similar to the neshama, to the soul. And it, therefore, is the source, that is what brings the kapara, the atonement to the soul. The smoke goes up, that represents the idea that the neshama is going up, being elevated, being cleansed, so it can be elevated and connect to its source. And maybe the Kli Yakar doesn't say this, but maybe the same way we said by the animal, you're supposed to think, well, you know, the animal's in my place, right? Really, you know, I should be giving up, my life should be taken away because of my sin, but Hashem has mercy and takes the animal its place. So here too, my neshama should be taken away from me. My neshama should go back up for what I've done wrong. But in place of that, instead, Hashem takes the keteris. Hashem accepts the keteris, the smoke that goes up as in place of my neshama. But both altars, say the Kli Yakar, accomplish atonement. One is atonement for the physical dimension of a person, and the other, the golden altar, which the keteris is brought upon, that brings about the atonement for the neshama, for the soul, for the neshama of a person.